I'm Jody Weitz, results and success coach, and these podcasts teach you how to make significant changes to live your dreams, make a positive impact on the world, and drop your regrets. It's time for you to get spectacular.
Welcome back to Your Spectacular Life. I'm Jody Weitz, your life and business coach, making sure both of those areas are nothing less than spectacular. I'm here with Lance Psycho. Hi, Lance.
Hey, Jody. Pleasure to be here.
Oh, I'm thrilled that you're on the show. Let me tell you something about Lance. Lance Psycho stands out as a visionary architect, entrepreneur, and community leader, co-founding F9 Productions, Inc. in Longmont, Colorado, in 2009 with Alex Gore. This acclaimed design build firm, known for its expertise in residential and small commercial projects, has flourished under his guidance, earning a reputation for bold, innovative, and client-centered excellence. Since launching F9 during the economic downturn, Lance has steered the firm to significant achievements, including the 2016 Architizer A+ Award for the Atlas Tiny House and 2023 ranking as the number one fastest growing firm in Biz West Mercury 100 with a 386% growth rate. His influence extends to academia, where he lectures at the University of Colorado Boulder and North Dakota State University, sharing practical wisdom with the next generation of designers. As a co-host of the globally recognized Inside the Firm podcast, Lance offers actionable insights on architecture and business, drawing from his diverse expertise. Okay, Lance, when do you sleep, all right? When does that happen? You're teaching, you're building, you're doing everything. So you have done so much. Have you always been this driven and motivated to succeed?
Yeah, I think so. I think I have been this driven since 13, because
13.
I'm 43 as we record this today. It's not my birthday, I'm just saying. And I think that's when everything started taking off for me 30 years ago, because I grew up between a cattle ranch and a sugar beet farm, rural North Dakota, not a lot of opportunities. Even my children finally understand that today after living in the northern part of Denver Metro.
Right,
because when we go back and visit back home, they're like, how are they going to get a job? And I'm like, yeah, they would have to drive like 45 minutes to the nearest town. I mean, it's that rural. Yeah.
Goodness. Yeah.
So the first entrepreneur that I ever met, his name was Bruce. And that's when I transitioned from being on the farm trying to irrigate sugar beets with my dad to quitting and then calling up his best friend Bruce, who was a general contractor. And from there, I just saw the difference between dads. Bruce is not my dad,
yeah,
but he's definitely a father figure.
Yes.
And yes. 10, 15 years ago, I read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When I read that, I finally understood. I was like, oh, I had the Rich Dad, Poor Dad experience. And because Bruce is just really what I think it was there was a vast difference in the way they thought about money.
Mm-hmm.
With the dad who raised me, it was always, you know, having money isn't everything, right? And that was the quote over and over again.
Oh boy.
And Kanye West finished that for me, that quote about 10 years ago, was having money isn't everything, but not having it is. So I'm not here to be a person who has all these possessions. I live in a 3-bedroom condominium that I designed, built, and developed for myself. It's modest. I do not live in a mansion or anything like that. And for me, money is about freedom, and success is, and you have to be successful in order to earn the money and then get the freedom. That's what it's about. Like this afternoon, as soon as we're done with this show today, I'm going to take my daughter and we're going to go up to Rocky Mountain National Park. We're going to go for a
Ooh.
nice daddy-daughter date.
Oh,
Yeah.
wonderful.
And that's where I think it's at
Yeah.
for me. So it's a motivation towards, you know, that.
Being able to take off half a day and going, I'm assuming hiking with your daughter, maybe biking. You are in Colorado, or so each one gets at least 50% of time spent. Everybody has a bike in
Yeah.
their car. It's great. So, in managing money, and I would almost imagine architecture and building what you have designed is very challenging because money is usually paid, unless you get it up front, a portion as you're building. Very difficult. How would you recommend to our listeners in managing money for your firm? Let's start there.
Yeah. Okay. So the question isn't is construction difficult? It's the money management
It's the
in that.
money in your particular field, both
Okay.
architecture and building and construction.
Yeah. So I think there's myths that people have about architects from the outside, and then I think those myths sometimes become truths in the architect's minds too. And
Oh, no.
The big one is like, oh, you're an architect, you must be rich.
Right.
No, absolutely not. I'm pr doing pretty good as an architect who also builds and also develops, right? Because that's a much bigger scope of responsibility, and then the reward is bigger. Here's what it really boils down to, and this is like being brilliant at the basics. It's one of our nine fundamental principles we have at F9 Productions, part of the alliteration off of the name. And be brilliant at the basics. So, what can you do to be brilliant at the very most basic thing when you first start your architecture firm? And that is figure out the least amount of money you need to pay yourself to live, to live, and be very conservative about it. The cash that you can reserve in your business checking and saving is lifeblood, right? And we call that profit. And so architects who are listening, designers who are listening, any other people who are listening and thinking about starting up a company, paying yourself the least amount of money in those first 5 to 7 years of business is absolutely critical. Once you become established after the 7 year mark, and that's a very important number, I'm kind of a numerology guy, but there's empirical database on that number in business, and that is most businesses fail within that first 7 years. So once you get past that startup phase, then you can look back and go, all right, maybe it's time for a raise. I have a good cash reserve built up. I have a plethora of clients. Hopefully it's a diverse set in different dimensions, so that, one of those clients goes away or client types, you don't fail. I think that's the key. And we've done it for all the different companies. Same with the general contracting firm. I didn't take a salary for the general contracting firm for like the first 3 or 4 years.
Goodness,
Yeah.
my word. Wow. So preserve, really live those lean years until year seven, because if what I would think if I were in your position and had that money in my checking savings is, I can make it. I know I have enough in those accounts, not enough to, get a brand new house or anything like that, but enough that I can get this going and be all right.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And then the rewards, can become, it's sort of like exponential. That's how it really works, is like it's kind of like having a 401k. You're not making a bunch of money right away, but boy, that compound interest really starts to pay dividends in it, right? So that's the biggest thing. When it comes to general contracting specifically, that is also very important too, because it takes a lot of cash to run a general contracting firm. Because, for example, and I'm happy to disclose numbers. Usually our architecture firm is billing somewhere around like $1.5 million every year, Sometimes it's higher than that, sometimes it's lower than that. Fluctuates with staff, fluctuates with projects, whatever. General contracting, we are doing with only a few projects every year compared to the architecture firm that's doing dozens and dozens and dozens. We're billing between $4 and $5 million.
Great. Wow.
And that's like, okay, but 80% of that 4 to 5 million is paying other people to do the work, to pay, actual physical products in the building, lumber and all of that. So being really careful with that amount of money is incredibly important, and being really conservative right away. So if you can, again, just go back to that basic of like, how can I pay myself? What is the least amount of money I need to make? And then also doing one fundamental other thing that I think a lot of business owners miss right away is banks, you're going to need a loan at some point. It doesn't matter if it's personal, like a car or a house or anything like that, or could be like a line of credit with your business. Banks and bankers are check that they check boxes, and they can't be creative because they have to, it has to be the same treatment for everybody. So
Yeah,
they have to check the
it's a
boxes.
and it's a very narrow number of boxes, number of what they're looking for and how you can qualify.
Yeah. So one of the things we did right away, and this is from Alex's mother, rest her soul. She gave us some of the best advice ever. She goes, because she did books her whole life. And she goes, make sure you guys pay yourselves every 2 weeks. And so we made ourselves W-2s since day one. And I've tried to get my wife to do the same thing. She says she has a real estate business. She doesn't believe it, even though, I have all this credit, literal right there, that I can go out and get loans and stuff. And so that's the other thing too, is like, just, pay yourself the least amount of money you can do it, be a W-2. And that
And
way,
show it to the bank.
because a
Show it to
lot of
the
those
bank.
applications, like, they do want to know that you're the owner, but the first checkbox is, are you an employee? And that goes a long way.
Exactly. And I'm gonna just also say the architect and the build portion. I mean, you're keeping a lot of the business again in all of F9. You're not saying, okay, here are the plans, goodbye, etc. You can modulate, you can offer that value add-on to your clients because you can manage it all. You're the ones who communicate with your people you hire as the builder, and that is wonderful. What I also want to say is I've gone online and I've looked at your website, F9, and beautiful, beautiful structures. And one of your guiding principles also is innovate or stagnate. Yours are very innovative. Tell me what that means for people running their business, even if it's a widget business.
I think people will get can get overwhelmed by the idea that you constantly, you should be innovating, right? And what I try to demystify with all of that, this is a great question. Nobody's ever asked me this, Jody. Is that I tell our students too, is like, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. I don't know if it'll ever happen. What you're you know, there's not going to be like a, oh, this is now the new wheel. It's everybody, it was only done one time, and then now we have this wheel. And so what it is like, how do you modify the wheel? Just one little modification to that wheel. It's okay to like draw upon and from other artists, designers, entrepreneurs, people that have created things based on the creations that other people already had, to modify it, to tweak it, to transform it, and then make it your own. It's still very Lockean in that kind of a way that you still have ownership of it. And so with that, then what I tell owners to get real precise with this advice is that, think about the zeitgeist at the time, whatever time period you're in. Is there something that is going to be, Google searches are going to trend in a certain way that you can exploit. So like, one little quick story is, in 2012, One of the things that was on Google Trends, and we knew that was coming, was like, because I'm kind of a conspiracy guy, I like that stuff. Like, is oh, end of the world. End of the world's coming, the Mayan calendar.
Oh
And we're
no.
like, how can we exploit this architecturally?
Right.
And so we came up with the doomsday dwellings. There were like
Oh
four
my
different kinds of houses. Yeah.
goodness.
And
Doomsday
it got
dwelling.
us a ton of press. We got a
No.
7-page spread in Modern in Denver, which is a very
Nice.
shishy little magazine down here. We couldn't have afforded it, back then. We got published in all different kinds of magazines, and then we ended up actually getting some commissions because people hired us to do like stuff that wasn't related. It was like regular houses or whatever, but trying to find something that's going to be in the news and run at that.
So, what is your next zeitgeist then? What, without spilling the beans or letting the cat out of the bag for others, but what do you think it will be, even though it hasn't maybe been formulated?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. It's okay. I'm going to spill the beans a little bit. I'm going
Spill
to
the
give, I
beans.
like to call it gravy. I'm going to pour the gravy out a little bit. Additional dwelling units. So for
Oh,
if you know the acronym ADU.
yes.
So 2 years ago, the politicians in Colorado, they drafted a bill that got signed into law last summer to where every single residential property throughout the whole state has to allow an additional dwelling unit on it. And so working with our web team and our marketing team, we saw th that this was on the horizon. And so we positioned ourselves with our website, our newsletter, stuff like that, of Colorado ADU Architects. If you Google Colorado ADU Architects, we're number one.
Right.
So we ended up doing a ton of ADU designs. Some of them got built, but where
Nice.
it's led now is now these cities in the Denver Metro are putting out these really awesome proposals, and we won one of two. We lost one, but we won one. With the city of Brighton, we won the RFP to do basically like four stock plans for them.
Great. Yes.
Yeah, so that it takes it.
Fabulous.
Yeah, so that's I think our zeitgeist right now is ADUs.
Yes, California, where I'm calling from, big on ADUs. Difficult still with our city government and building. They are very difficult to work with. I think a stock plan would have been easier that they just would have pass, do the soil testing, and then if everything looks good and there's enough room around you, pick a plan and go with it. And that is what you would build, or and there it is. California, at least my city, is not there yet. Maybe you can work with them so I can build my ADU lands. Can you please?
Well, yeah, right. That's
I
right. So
know.
like then there was about five or six cities in the metro that ended up, now they're countersuing the state.
Ah,
So it's like
no.
one st it's like
Yeah, one,
two
two
steps
steps or
forward,
one
whatever it is.
step back. Yeah,
Yeah, we'll get there.
you
But yeah,
will.
th thank you for
You
that
will.
question, because I do think that is where it's headed for us anyway in Colorado. Yeah.
And tiny homes as well, which you were recognized for, and this may play into the tiny homes, is great because our population is expanding. People love Colorado. People are going to move to Colorado. It's a
Yeah.
great place. And how can they afford their own home? They can't. So why not downsize, start with a tiny home on a property or on land that you own? It makes so much sense.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And then there's also the very big aging population, right? The boomers.
Yes.
And a lot of people are moving their mom and dads back, I think, in for good reason. I've offered that to my mother, like in the future, that sort of thing. So there's multiple demands.
And if on that note, again, a caregiver could live in an ADU next to the home. She gets, you work that into how much she get or he gets paid, and everyone is happy. So you've got your parents, somebody's looking out for them. They're living in, in one of your, again, absolutely beautiful dwellings, which is amazing. Now, why teaching? You jumped up with everything you're doing, you decided to also teach. What got you into that?
It was a, well, it's kind of interesting. I mean, I have a master's degree, so I can teach. That was always part of the thing is like, oh yeah, if you get a professional degree, then you, or graduate degree rather, then you can teach, which has always been appealing. I fell in love with academia when I was in college. I almost went to MIT. They were recruiting me and everything, flew me out. It was amazing. But my one professor, that's how much I love school is what I'm getting at. So I'd always wanted to be like, well, I just like that environment. I like teaching, you know, I just feel like that kind of a soul. And so when we first started the firm and we got to the point where we needed to hire our first employee, this is only a year or two in, we were like, oh, we should, let's hire local. Let's hire some students over from CU Boulder, which is, you know, we live in Longmont. Boulder's like 20 minutes away. And so we put out an ad, got a bunch of candidates and interviewed them, and they were not up to where we needed them to be with their technical skills, specifically with a piece of software that was, you know, that you execute most of the drawings in. So we reach out to the university and we go, hey, I really want to hire your students, but just so you know, like this is why they aren't hired, but we want to help you out. Like, if you ever have any openings to teach this software, we're open to it.
Oh, it's so important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
And
so
then
they
what
got
happened?
back. Yeah, they got back to us and they said, well, you know, they were nice about it. They took it on the chin, Peggy did. And she said, you know, we don't have anything in the ENVD department. She goes, but we do cross-pollinate with the engineering department. And we need architects to teach them how to draw. 'Cause like, architects know how to draw, engineers know how to compute, so there should be some. So that's what we taught. We taught engineering drawing and then studios and other things at the University of Colorado for about 13 years. That's how we got into it. Yeah, and once you're in, and if you're good at it, and the students give you good reviews, you just kind of stay there. So yeah,
They're not kicking you out,
yeah,
right?
yeah.
Yeah, I and software is so very important in the architectural field. I know I worked as a contractor with Autodesk. I don't know what
Oh.
you're using, but that's why I'm so thrilled about what you do in life. So moving into podcasting, why podcasting? I know you do it with your buddy Alex, who is co-owner of the firm. Was that another we need to educate, or let's just have fun and talk about building architecture stories, etc.?
Yes, but also because we're selfish, and maybe because I am more than him even. He's a middle child, so he knows how to share better. I'm the eldest child, so I know how to lead better, and also am okay with like being disliked. So what it was we started the firm in 2010 is when he officially came down, technically 2009, but 2010, and 2017 came around, and there's that magical seven number again, right? And I went, we both were licensed architects. We had employees underneath us. We had just been on television. We were looking at starting our first real estate development. We seemed out of the startup phase, you know, right coming out of it. It looked like it was like, we're not going to fail. Hey, we're not going to fail. And I go, and selfishly, I wanted to capture our story. And you know, and then obviously it's like, oh, selfishly, you're making a public podcast, right? It's sort of a joke. But yeah, that's the reason why. And then we, you know, that's what we did. And the other thing too is that like there's two other pioneers in the three in the architectural podcasting community. And so I got The Business of Architecture by Enoch Sears, who's the dear friend, Entree Architect by Mark LePage, and then ArchiSpeak by Evan Troxell. They were close to something that we were trying to do with our show, which is like, we just want to like be candid and bring you actually inside our firm. And that's where the podcast name comes from. and be practicing architects, multifaceted entrepreneurs who just really tell pretty much the whole story, no holds barred, because up until our generation and then those other gentlemen that I mentioned, architecture, the business of it was all the practice of it, very close vested.
Yes,
Yep, just
I
a real
agree.
protectionist kind of profession. And so we want to break that mold.
Great. And I think it's marvelous that you are doing it and that you are an open book. When you say bring him into the firm, what kinds of things are you doing, communicating, being honest about?
Well, yeah, so we pretended like we went back in time for the first, I don't know, maybe a couple dozen episodes, and
Okay.
pretended as if we were, we went and told like
That's
how we
great.
started the firm, what was, just even stupid silly stuff of like, here's how you file an LLC. Disclaimers, not legal advice, but here's how you file an LLC. There's different kinds of corporations. Get with your accountant. How to cheaply advertise if you don't have a lot of cash. So really told them like the how we did it,
Great.
A to B. And then once we got past all the past, right, and then we were in like the present, then it became, let's say we had to once we one time we had to fire somebody from the architecture firm, and you can go look up that episode. We didn't name names or anything, and the episode is called, like, I can't remember which one it was, but it's like hire slow, fire fast. Stuff like that, stuff like that. Like there really isn't other architects who rip off the Band-Aid and just talk about it like that and help people understand. And I think one of the biggest things is it's helped other people just not feel alone and siloed when they're starting a firm, or they already have started a firm and they're like, because me and Alex have it, I feel like we're spoiled. I've got him, he's got me. Like we have a sounding board. There's a lot of solopreneurs, a lot of people just by themselves.
And it is just great to bounce ideas off of somebody who knows what's going on. And you have a motivating factor when things don't go right, and you cheer each other on, which is great. Now, for the firm, and again, I would what is the website you would send people to, Lance, so they can get a better idea of who you are? I think you've got a couple of them, both
Yeah.
the podcasting and the the regular F9. So where would you send them to?
They should definitely go to LinkedIn and link in with me. I'm the only Lance last name Psycho, Caycko. I'm the only Lance Psycho out there. Find me. I will connect with you. I post funny stuff. I post about my personal life sometimes on there. All kinds of business things. You can keep up with us there. And then InsideTheFirmPodcast.com is where you can find every episode. We're on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, iTunes, the whole shtick. And then the last place is F9Productions.com. You can sign up for our newsletter and find a follow on what we're building, what we're designing, all kinds of fun stuff.
And fun just to look. If you like architecture porn, this is
Thank you.
the site. So what's next? I know you mentioned, ADUs is the zeitgeist. What would you love to see come into being that hasn't with the firm?
Yeah, well, we are. We're if you haven't noticed, like, we're kind of contrarian, so we do the opposite of what most architects are doing. I would just That's how we operate. I think we have fun with it. And so one of the things I th that we're going to do is the opposite, which is the for the future is we don't want to grow more than 12 people. We're at 11.
Well,
We're really blessed to be able to bring on another interior designer gal. And so that makes it a team of eight architects, three interior designers. All the interior designers are female. And so in the future, the next step is one more female interior designer. So we have a nice diverse company. The average representation for females in architecture, engineering, construction is about 27%. So that puts
yeah.
us well over the mark. And it really adds a really nice mix to everything when there's guys and gals in the office bouncing
Sure.
ideas off each other and a good cohesive energy. So that's the long-term goal, is to get to a staff of 12, and we don't want to grow beyond that. We want to just stay small, boutique, and provide really high customer level service.
And that's great. Yay. Well, I am wishing you best of luck with that. I think you're gonna have a hard time staying at 12 because you're gonna get successful. You're gonna have to make some decisions, but yeah. But it really I love the way you've run the firm. I love your transparency with podcasting and helping the next generation with teaching, with giving them software expertise and beyond that. So thank you, Lance, so much for being on the show and letting us know about how you've grown, and love the enthusiasm.
Thank you so much, Jody. It was a pleasure. I appreciated all your questions. Very unique interview.
Great. All right. You take care then, and I want to see more pictures of houses on your site that you've built.
No
Please.
problem. Yeah.
All right. Take care.
See ya.
All right. Yeah. There
Cool.
we are. We did it.
Yeah.
All
Thanks
right.
again for keeping the meeting. And then, yeah, I'll watch out for when you announce and I'll
Yep.
share it all over. Okay.
Great. How do you think it went for you?
Really good. Very unique. Yeah. Thank you so
Why
much. Great
unique?
questions.
Curious.
Most people, well, you just were. I think your sequence of how you started going through things was really good. I could tell you researched me and it felt perfectly chronological.
Great.
Yeah, and no one's
Great.
ever done that before. Usually we're jumping around. So
Yeah.
yours was just it, but it, and it still felt very conversational, like you said. It
Yeah.
didn't feel contrived.
Organic. Great. Well, thank you for that. I'm always looking at how to improve my conversations. And yeah, I really am impressed with your houses. I'm not
Thank you.
making that up for the audience. But yeah, so once again, I hope everything just keeps going as you deign it to, as you set your intentions.
Thank you. Yeah, I do. Okay.
Okay.
All
All
right.
right,
We'll see you.
Lance, take care. Bye.
I'm so grateful that you've listened to the end of this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review it, and share it with your friends. I love teaching insights so that you can have a more impactful and meaningful life. It's my mission to build a thriving community of happy, fulfilled people.